you're a first responder. There are first responders in the Bible. I mean, look at David's men. We can be Christians. We can be men. We can be warriors. We can be fighters, but we can be men of God as well.
Cool. Well, hey, it's been a little while, but thanks for joining us here on Thin Mind Believers. Scott Robertson is my guest today. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. How about you?
Still breathing. So, Scott, by way of introduction, I know that we talked yesterday. You've been with the Texas Game Wardens for about 11 or so years. You're a family man. You're in ministry, and after our chat last night, I do have a couple questions for you. But first off, let's just kind of fill us in on who you are, because that's a pretty generic introduction I just gave you. So tell me about, tell me about your career with Texas and how you ended up where you're at right now.
Yeah. Well, so first and foremost, beloved son of God, you know, we got to put that out there first.
Absolutely.
And everything that I've been able to accomplish is because he allowed it. So, you know, began my career in law enforcement about 11 years ago. And, I had no law enforcement or military experience prior to that. My great uncle was a game warden in Texas, right before World War II, right after World War II up until about 1986. So I grew up, you know, hearing stories and just kind of seeing him, like hearing him relive his days as a Texas game warden. So it always stuck in my mind. And, you know, at first I thought I wanted to be a teacher. And, so I went to school for that. And, I quickly realized that I was not cut out to be a teacher. And there are some that are, and God bless them, because that is that's a job that God definitely calls folks to. And he didn't call me for that. And so I tried to figure out what else I wanted to do. And, you know, the Texas Parks and Wildlife game warden always kind of stuck out. And so I pursued that and was able to get in. It was a pretty long process, but was able to become a Texas game warden.
Right on. What is the process like that for that, as far as the training in the academy?
So our process is, like I said, it's fairly long. You know, Texas is a large state, and folks from all over the country and all over the world, actually. We have several folks from different countries that are Texas game wardens as well. But so they do a process, you know, you put your application in and then you apply, you know, and then if you meet the criteria, they go on to an oral interview. A physical check, which is just to make sure that you can get in the academy. They like to run you and work you more when you get there, of course. But a thorough background investigation goes into that. But now it's about 8 months of instruction, and we are a Texas peace officer that is gone through the same licensure test as a sheriff's deputy, as a state trooper, as a constable, as a municipal police officer. You know, we go through the same licensure test. So we're a state police. And, but also we have to focus on wildlife code and crimes while we're there. So that's why our police academy is one of the longer ones out there. So, I mean, we go, you know, we do traffic, we do narcotics, you know, in instruction, we do, you know, anything and everything that a normal police officer would do. But then, you know, we do hunting camp checks, fishing regulations, you know, you name it, you know, and we have to learn it.
Okay. So that's pretty specialized. We're going to come back to that too. But before we get too specific on that stuff, how about your family? How do they deal with all that? And what do you have at home?
So I have a wife, very supportive wife, and two kids, a 13-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And my boy was young when I went through the academy. And so he grew up, that's kind of what he knew. And my daughter was, you know, born after when I was a game warden. So they grew up both grew up kind of on the fly, I guess you would say, learning what dad has to do. So we're subject to call outs 24 hours a day. So in my county, in Texas, we have two game wardens for about 913 square miles or 915 square miles. And so we both have days off during the week. And so one's on call, one's not, you know, on our days. But then we, in emergency, that's, you know, we're expected to respond. So birthdays, Christmas, you know, special days, special times, family events, nothing's off the table. And many times over the years, I've had to drop what I'm doing and go leave and go handle whatever the sheriff's department calls me about. So
sure. Okay. And they probably call you quite a bit because that's kind of your specialty, isn't it?
That is. So, you know, we can, you know, we enforce Texas Penal Code just like a deputy does. But there are, you know, we have a focus. And so whenever a call comes in that focus, they direct that to us. And then, you know, we go handle it. And if we need help, we reach out to our partners, or if it's something we can handle ourselves, then we do it. And, you know, we have a great relationship with all the agencies here in our county. So more often than not, I've got either a city PD and or deputy that, you know, hey, I've got this over here. Y'all mind running with me? And we're all headed. So, because we do our relationships in the county, like heavy work on that. So we are, you know, because there's only two of us. And so, you know, we help out where we can, and then it's reciprocated. So,
right on. Good deal. So, man, it's so important to have good working relationships like that. Otherwise, it can be just miserable. But
absolutely.
And then on top of all that, man, you got kids, you got call outs on top of your regular job, and then as our conversation last night, you're pretty heavily involved in ministry. So, tell me about your ministry experience.
And so, you know, that's kind of been a long road and one that I did not see myself in. I'm going to be honest, but the Lord had different plans for me. And, so I went to my pastor. When COVID hit, I was working security. You know, we all have an event that spurs on physical activity or just trying to get better, right? Well, mine was, I was working security at a bank, and then, you know, everything is shut down and, nothing's open, and, you know, bank was appointment only. And, I see this 3-year-old kid running down the middle of the street, cars are driving by and all of that stuff, like not stopping. So I blow the door open and I sprint out and I go grab him and go, you know, get him back to safety, call the police and, you know, try to figure out who parents are. And I was just winded and all of that. And I said, hey, this is not going to fly. Like, what if my partner needs help? Like, what if a civilian who's not 25 pounds needs help? I'm not going to make it. And so their life is going to depend on my physical fitness. And so I started working out, getting better. And I went to my pastor and I said, hey, how do I get the church to buy me some workout gear? And he said, start a ministry. He said, I'll help you. I said, okay. And so I reached out to my partner, Jack Pearl. And so we had a sit down with him and we formulated a plan and a routine and a schedule. And that was about a year and a half or a little more than that. And we've been running every day since. It's called Emmanuel Baptist Church. We call it our Green Iron Ministry because our logo is a green leaf, and that's just kind of what stuck. So every day we get up, we do a 45, 50 minute workout. We do a Bible lesson. And so we start the day in fellowship, exercise in the Word of God. And there's about anywhere from 4 to 10 of us, depending on when work and shifts allow, that we showed up, that we show up. And you know, we get after it. And as you know, when a bunch of guys get together, like, we're all competitive. So we push each other on. And even one of the guys' daughter shows up, and she is she's pretty dedicated, too. And, you know, we all just push each other to be better than yesterday. And, you know, so that's one. Another one that we started recently is we call it our commanded ministry, and we feed all the first responders in the county once a month, and then we do a short Bible lesson. It's a biblical perspective on first responders, who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And then we pick a focus. And so we've been focused on David and the mighty men that he surrounded himself with. And so I actually got that material and that idea from the ETL, the Enter the Lion community. I went through that study and it stuck with me. And Josh Cook, he let us use that. And man, it's been doing great as far as getting folks in and trying to get them plugged in, because I don't have to tell you, you know, church, law enforcement, and first responders is kind of a smaller group. And, man, I just want folks to have what I have, that peace about going to work. And so just wanted to spread that. So that's another. And then my church, me, my pastor and I, we started a chaplaincy program. It's a faith-based crisis intervention that, if anybody, you know, needs to talk or whatever, blow off some steam or something's bothering them, they can just give me a call. You know, I am law enforcement in my community, and pretty much everybody knows me. So I'm in a unique position to where I can visit with those folks, you know, being a first responder, but not being a part of their agency. And so they could be a little more comfortable coming to visit with me about it. And, blow that steam off. And if we need something more, my pastor is a licensed counselor in crisis that I can pass him off to him. So, you know, that's kind of roughly what I do on a daily basis as far as that ministry goes. And, you know, we're seeing some success, which is great.
No, that's great. I like it. I mean, I didn't know that your fitness thing was daily. So, I mean, that's pretty intensive in itself. So kudos to you for doing that. Do you do the programming for it?
No, actually Jack writes the programming. Jack Pearl, he writes that. I just facilitate it. And so I'm a certified personal trainer too, on top of that. So I can give help where it's needed, and Jack will show up and work out with us as his schedule allows as well. But all of that is his brainchild, I guess. And it's fantastic. You know, it's, call it functional fitness, 'cause it's, I asked him to gear that more towards what we deal with on the job, you know, picking heavy stuff up and putting it back down. You know, if we have to go carry some gear through the woods to go find somebody or carry a litter out with a body on it, you know, I don't want to struggle. And so that's what we're focusing on.
Good deal. And then do you have enough room for Jack when he comes to work out? I mean, he's not a little guy.
Well, he has to duck when he comes in the building, but he can get in there.
Nice. So. Good. And I like the chaplaincy thing. That's been something that I've been fairly heavily involved in for a few years now. And that's not a small feat. You know, that's something that takes some serious effort to not only to establish, but to build that trust. Have you been able to do that?
It's a slow process. I mean, I've had a few folks that have come and sought me out and everything. I mean, it's not something that we push. It's more of a, I'm here if you need me thing. And it's not required by their department or anything if something happens. But, you know, I know most of the folks, I'd probably say 99% of the first responders in the county. And so it's a pretty rural county. And so when something happens, we all know about it. And so I just kind of make sure, hey, you know, what do you need? You all right? You know, let's just hash this out for 5 or 10 minutes. If you need something more, then we'll visit about it later. And, so it's not shoving down the throat. Hey, come here, let me visit with you. It's, hey, are you good or not? And then I know them, so I can tell from there, you know, whether they're actually good or not.
Yeah. Very good. Now, I do want to ask you, though, you talked about the SWAT stuff. And I,
yes, sir.
I didn't give you much background on me, but I did spend 6 years on SWAT, and it was the best time of my career. And it's extremely hard for me not to go back to that. But I know that if I want to do the ministry, if I want to be a good father, that right now is not the time for me to do that. And it sounds like that's similar for you, isn't it?
Yes. And so that was a lesson the Lord taught me, is I was running real pretty hard with our county SWAT team. They are a very excellent unit, and so we have a task force with our local sheriff's department and the one of our bigger municipal police departments in our county. So they call it it's a task force, and so I was running pretty hard with them. The sheriff actually sent me to SWAT school. You know, paid for me to go and ammunition and all that. I just took all of my gear and was able to go and work with the guys, and you know, as we went through that. And so we, you know, running with that for a while, and then, you know, the inevitable critical incident occurred, and we dealt with that, you know, in that manner. You know, we dealt with it, and then we had to, you know, we moved on. And shortly thereafter, I spent a lot of time with our, with my IA, internal affairs, just to, you know, how did their game warden get in that situation? And then it wasn't long after that that our department made a, you know, we don't participate in no-knock warrants unless, well, there is no unless, it's, we just don't do it. And so I was pulled off. I was hamstrung. You know, I'm still on, you know, still can function on call outs and stuff like that. So, I'm still can go and train and do, but they going through and doing it every day, all the time. Well, not every day, but every time they had one, that was put to a screaming halt. And, pretty upset, pretty bitter about that, actually, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And, didn't like it. I felt kind of hung out to dry. I felt like I was leaving my team. And that's what we are. We're brothers and a team. Felt like I left my team out to dry. You know, it wasn't my fault. I just couldn't. But they understood. And then, you know, after some time, I realized that I was spending more time than I should have. And, you know, home life was suffering a little bit. I was just blowing and going. And kids are young. You know, that was a couple years ago. So we're talking about 10 or 11 and, you know, 6 and 7 is when my kids were. And, you know, just realized that that's not what the Lord had for me. And then, the ministry started right after that. So when I actually listened instead of doing what I wanted to do, I found out that's not exactly where I was needed, but where the Lord wanted me to work. It's where I wanted to work, but it wasn't where the Lord wanted me. And that was a pretty humbling lesson to learn and to go through, because I'd like to think I was good at all that, you know, and still love clearing houses, love kicking in doors, absolutely love it, and would go today if they called and asked for some help. But, you know, it was just I think the Lord was telling me to go into this ministry because it was necessary. And you know, talking to some of the guys and the gals that I work with, we're seeing success in our ministries. We're seeing people reach out. We're seeing people come that aren't churched and just getting just a little bit enough to, you know, not cram it down their throat, but to, hey, you know, you're a first responder. They're first responders in the Bible. I mean, look at David's men. We can be Christians. We can be men. We can be warriors. We can be fighters, but we can be men of God as well. And so getting that message across, I think, is what I was, where the Lord pointed me to after all that.
Yeah, that's really important. And I'm sure you see the same thing, that there's a lot of guys that think that those have to be two separate things, right? They see the Christian man as this soft, and they see meekness as weakness. And then they see the tactical or the soldier or whatever it is that, you know, the meat eaters, they figure are secular, I guess. At least that's how they seem to treat it. So I think your ministry is really important.
Yeah, and that's kind of the focus of what my ministries were is, the man after God's own heart, David, he was a mighty warrior, and he killed tens of thousands, up to hundreds of thousands of people because God told him to. And God, he was a man after God's own heart. And so I don't know where that separation came from, but I'm trying to bridge that gap that you can be a man of God, but you can be a knuckle dragger too, a door kicker too, and you can go home and you can lead your family as well. So, which is, the most important part is making sure you set a good example for the family while you're doing all of that. You're doing God's work and what he called us to do in protecting the people that need protecting.
Exactly. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Exodus 15. So good. Yeah, I wanted to kind of dig into that a little bit because I know of a lot of SWAT guys that, their family life will suffer, but there's just a drive in a lot of us to keep doing that. Now, me personally, the Lord pulled me out of that for his own reasoning, and he hasn't let me go back yet, and that's fine, but I hate seeing families suffer because of that drive that we have as type A men, I guess I should say. But you talked about a critical incident. Was this a deadly force incident?
Yeah, yes, sir, it was.
Okay, yeah. I had those two, and a lot of my buddies have gone through those multiple. And they kind of pile on each other. And how have you dealt with that? It sounds like it's still somewhat fresh. So, I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, it was pretty difficult for me. I'm going to be honest. I had a great support system. So when I got to my church, when I got to my county where I was assigned, I met a guy, and it was a God thing. It's what we call it. Like, it was purely a God thing. And he was a former law enforcement. And so he understood. And I met him at a gun store, because, hey, barber shops, feed stores, and gun stores, where else can you get the good lowdown on the stuff happening in your county, right? And so met him and started going to my church, Emmanuel Baptist, because it was – at first it was a matter of convenience. Hey, they got a service at 8:30, so we can go check that box and go get to lunch before anybody else does, right? And so, that guy that I met at the gun store, he was also there, so I got to go in for a little while, and he kind of wrote me in. He said, "Hey, I need you on our security ministry." Okay, hey, police, security, I'm in. And so he started, working on me, and started getting me more serious. And then once I figured out that I was just checking boxes instead of doing what the Lord called me to do, like, I got more serious and devoted myself more to the Lord. And so when that incident occurred, I leaned on him very heavily. I leaned on my partners very heavily and my pastor. And because what got me the most was that, that individual was a man of, was a child of God, just like I was. He just made bad decisions, and the results were what they were. And that was very difficult for me to be in that. And for a couple weeks, it was pretty raw. It was pretty something that I know that, hey, as soon as you hit the academy day one, like, this can happen to you. But until it happens to you, like, there's all the talk and all the instilling and all the videos can only take it so far until we're in that situation. A strong support system in my church and with my brothers and just in the Lord. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think I would have handled it so well if I would not have had a firm foundation of faith in our Heavenly Father to deal with that. And after time, I still think about it. I still relive it. It's not going to go away. And but it's just something that, we do and move on. So that's roughly how I dealt with it. Deal with okay. it. I mean, it's still deal, I guess. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, one translation of 1 Corinthians 13 says that love always protects. So, you know, there's certainly a rightness in doing that when it's when it needs to be done. So take that for what it is. But anyway, well, I don't think we need to dive into that too deep. I just was curious about how you deal with it, because a lot of us do deal with that kind of stuff. So I appreciate you chatting about that. And then back to your your fitness ministry. What did your church end up getting for you? I mean, what do you have at your disposal now?
Well, so it helps that my pastor is he's my age. I'm 36, and he is he's 35. So our lead pastor is our age, mine and Jack's age. And it helps that he's into fitness and all of that. So he got us a squat rack. He got us some free weights, and he built this big, like you would see in a high school, like it's probably an 8x12 or 15 rectangular rack with pull up racks, with pull up bars built in, squat, you know, squat rack and bench press. And then he got a bunch of sandbags, dumbbells, and kettlebells. And so, you know, got all that for us so we can hit it. And, you know, we had a storage shed out behind the church. It's actually called The Shed. And, we cleaned that out and commandeered it and, organized and got rid of a bunch of stuff, which I think was kind of secretly what he was wanting. It was just like for us to do the heavy lifting to clean that thing out. So he was like, "Hey, if you want it, you got to clean it." And so we did. And so now we have our own building with all that equipment in there at our disposal. So
just right. So have you ever, I don't want to step on Jack's toes. Oh, yeah. I know he's got the effective fitness training, but have you ever thought about putting any of that stuff online for, you know, a wider community, or is it, do you find it just, let's just keep it more, I don't want to say intimate because that sounds kind of girly, but has that worked better for you than trying to expand it?
See, I haven't even tried to expand it. I know that that option is out there. And that's something I've tossed around that, you know, Jack and I have kind of visited about a little bit, but as of right now, just kind of where we're at, what we're doing is, you know, in person is where we're at now. But, you know, hey, if the Lord wants us to open it up and expand it, then he'll make a way. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, I guess if you end up doing that, let me know, because maybe I'll jump online and check it out. But other than that, man, I appreciate you coming on here and sharing. It's been great. I think that we can relate in a lot of ways. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to chat with me. And I think we'll bring you back on here at some point. But are you comfortable praying us out?
I think I lost you. Are you there? Okay. I kind of froze up a little bit there.
No worries. Are you comfortable praying us out of here?
Absolutely.
Take her away.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time that we have to visit as brothers in you. Lord, thank you for the information. And Lord, please, Lord, just let it benefit you and however that you would have it to benefit. Lord, let it reach people that we can realize that through this, that you're at work and that there is something bigger and that you are it and that you are our Father, our Creator, and that you love us and that you protect us. And that, Lord, that we can do what you called us to do and be men of God, be warriors. And Lord, just let us both have a good day. Just keep us safe and that what you have for us to do next. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Forgive us when we fail you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I agree with all that. All right, Scott, you do have a bit of a presence on Instagram. Where can folks find you on there?
So on Instagram, you can find me at SR Sam Robert. It's a SR Joshua 19, and that would be my favorite Bible verse is Joshua 19. You know, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be dismayed, for your Lord is God. For your Lord God is with you wherever you go. And I just find that that's where I got it, and that's my mantra. That's where I live. That you know, wherever we go, whatever we do, wherever the darkest depths that He calls us to go, He's with us and is going to deliver us. And so SR Joshua 19, yeah, reach out, message, however you want to do.
Awesome. Thanks again, man. We'll see you soon. All right,
brother. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.